Now, please open your Bibles today to Mark chapter 4. We've been here, what, for over a year and a half now, Mark, in the book of Mark. And we will continue to study the Bible. And the reason we go verse by verse in the Bible is because we don't want to miss anything that God has to say. Now, how many of you know that there's good things the Bible says and we love it, right? Bible talks to some, God loves you and He's going to bless you and He's going to make you rich. There's scriptures like that in the Bible, amen? But there's also scriptures that we don't want to hear, you know? And if we hear the only half of counsel of God, the half of the Word of God, then we're not balanced Christians and we're missing something. Imagine if you were trying to bake a cake and you only put the parts that you like in it, but not the other parts. You know, it might not turn out the way you want it to be. Amen? And so that's why we love the Bible in New Life Church. We're Bible-believing church and Spirit-filled church. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's read verse 26. And we're studying parables and almost done with it. And we're going to go into this last part of our study. Let's read what Jesus said. And Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is if a man would scatter seed on the ground. Another translation says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer. You never thought that a kingdom of God is like a farmer. What does that mean? Amen? Obviously, God is not a farmer. But He is. I mean, if you think of God in a way that He created anything, that us farming is Him farming. Right? So, but the kingdom of God is like a farmer. And sometimes we think of God as being this high creator in heaven, you know, with this big brain. And He has nothing to do with our lowly life here on earth. But if you believe the Bible and if you believe that God created this world, then everything that He created starts with sowing a seed. Okay? God is a farmer. You never probably looked at God that way, but let me tell you this, that God is a farmer. You mean a farmer? You know, in our mind, farming is not a very desirable career. How many of you would say, I want to be a farmer? I want to raise pigs. Well, God doesn't like pigs, so we'll go sheep or cow. You know, I want to do that. No, it stinks. It stinks. We live kind of on a farm. We live on an acreage, and all around us is farms. And the interesting thing is that there's few days in the summer it stinks. I mean, maybe there's no wind, or wind is blowing directly from the farmer's, you know, place, and it smells. Few days ago, we discovered there is a possum living in under our steps. Jesse, you have hornets. We've dealt with that already. We're beyond that. And here, we come home and we see this little kitten, we thought, running right under our steps in our garage. So we go under it, and I poke it, you know. What happens to a turtle if you poke it in the butt? Nothing. But this was not a turtle. This was a possum. This was a possum, and so I poked it, and it just kind of opened its mouth like this at me and looks. And we're all freaked out. My kids are like, ah! Tanya is, where are they learning this from? My wife. So I go under there, and I draw it out, and we thought it, you know, took off. But there was still smell. You know, those possums, they produce smell. Not like skunk, but still. Can I, you know, smell. So yesterday we come home from a lake, and we come back and I smell the smell. Uh-oh, possum again. So I look by the garbage can, and it's by the garbage can. It loves garbage for some reason. We did research yesterday. I did till 12, you know, midnight, searching out what possums are, because I didn't want them to be, you know, they don't have rabies. Did you know that? Most of them don't have rabies, because Tanya, they have rabies. Oh, get rid of it. And so I go, I have a pool, you know, one of those pool cleaners. What is it called? Pool net. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to trap it, you know, lift it up and take it somewhere away from my house, you know? Because this possum is not afraid of me for some reason. I mean, it just looks at me like a... Seriously, come on. And I poked it, and it ran under Tanya's car, and I see it climbing under her car. So I'm like, okay, get out of there. I'm pushing it with this net, and it wouldn't leave. It actually crawled inside under her car. I did. It wouldn't get out. So guess what I did? So I turned the car on. I try making circles in my driveway like this. You know, rocks. You know, we have a gravel driveway. So the rocks are flying. I look. Nope. It's still there. It won't get out. So I'm like, baby, I'm going to take a ride to Grand Falls Casino. So I start driving and I hear something crawling under the what? It's crawling on in the back, you know, where it crawled in. It was in the back where it crawled in. I think it was holding on. So I'm going 70, I'm going 80. And it's still, you can hear it go, hanging on there. So I went to Grand Falls Casino, turned around, and then I came back home, and I go, you can smell it. It still didn't leave. It was stuck somewhere. I mean, I probably found a good place. And this thing was bigger than our cat. It probably is pregnant. You know, fat too. I mean, or it ate a lot of our garbage while we were on vacation or something. And so I smell it, and it's still there. So I had to park my car out, Tanya's car, outside. Close the garage door. I'm like, you're not getting in here. I know you're not going to go inside my car because it's metal underneath there. But I'm not letting you in. So this morning I came, I went under, I looked, and it was gone. Anyway, but that's the life on the farm. All right, that's a quick story about life on a farm. I have another farm story for you, if I could read it to you. But let me finish my scripture. My goodness. I know we've been reading this scripture so much, but this is the most important thing. The kingdom of God, this is Jesus saying, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself. Listen to me. Say this. The earth yields crop by itself. If you put a seed in the ground, you don't have to do anything. The earth will take care of it. Amen. Just remember, by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately a farmer puts a sickle because the harvest has come. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about sowing seed, scattering seed, right? Then a week after that, we talked about waiting, right? Because between you sowing seed and reaping a harvest, there's waiting time, good or bad. Today, we're talking about harvest. But listen, I won't be able to finish on time, so I'll continue next week because the subject of harvest is huge. My topic is called Laws of Harvest. Laws of Harvest, okay? Has any one of you ever heard of a story about ant and grasshopper? All right, one, two. When I was in school, this was a story that we read and we were taught. So I want to read this story for you to make it more understandable of what the kingdom of God is like. Kingdom of God is a little different than our culture today. But it works just as it did 2,000, 5,000, whatever years ago. All right? I'm telling you, I'm not going to finish this sermon today. But I want you to know about harvest. And harvest actually is so misunderstood by most church folks, especially Christians. So misunderstand the harvest, it's not even funny. Okay? So today, I'm going to hopefully scare some of you. That's my job, is to scare some of you. I know you want a church that makes you feel all comfy and no. Today I'm going to scare you a little bit. I'm already telling you that. Because this is a scary subject. And some of you are going to be like, yes, I'm already doing it. So you'll be like, I'm good. All right. The story of ant and a grasshopper. Once there lived an ant and a grasshopper in a grassy meadow. All day long, the ant would work hard, collecting grain of wheat from the farmer's field far away. She would hurry to the field every morning, as soon as it was light enough to see by, and toil back in heavy grain of wheat balanced on her head. It's hard to read for me. Hold on. Let me make it bigger. She would put a grain of wheat carefully away in her storehouse, and then hurry back to the field again for another one. All day long she would work without stop or rest, scurrying back and forth from the field, collecting the grains of wheat and storing them carefully in her storehouse. Okay. The grasshopper would look at her and laugh. "Why do you work so hard, dear ant?" he would say. "Come rest a while. Listen to my song. I sing so well. The summer is here. The days are long and bright. Why waste the sunshine in labor and toil? Come on." The ant would ignore him and head, with the head bent, would just hurry to the field a little faster. This would make the grasshopper laugh even louder. "What a silly little ant you are," he would call her time after time. "Come on, come dance with me. Forget about work. Forget about trouble. Enjoy the summer. Live a little." Hakuna Matata. And the grasshopper would hop away across the meadow, singing, dancing merrily. So he was happy. But soon, the summer faded into autumn, and autumn turned into winter. The sun was hardly seen, and the days were short and gray. The nights long and dark. It became freezing and cold, and snow began to fall. The grasshopper didn't feel like singing anymore. He was cold and hungry. He had nowhere to go, no shelter from the snow, and nothing to eat. The meadow and the farmer's field were covered in snow, and there was no food to be had. "Oh, what shall I do?" said the poor grasshopper. "Where shall I go?" wailed the grasshopper. Thank you for that support there. Suddenly, a bright light came on, and he said, "I know what I will do. I know where I shall go. I will go see the ant. He has plenty of food and shelter," declared the grasshopper. So off he went to the ant's house and knocked at her door. "Hello, ant," he cried cheerfully. "Here I am to sing for you as I warm myself by your fire while you get me some food from your storage." The ant looked at the grasshopper and said, "All summer long I worked hard while you made fun of me and sang and danced. You should have thought of winter then. Find somewhere else to sing, grasshopper. There is no warmth or food for you here." And the ant shut the door in the grasshopper's face. Solomon says, "Look at the ant and learn from it, you fool." Talks to us. Amen? The moral of this story is that plan today for tomorrow. Plan today for tomorrow. Okay? Thank you for that awesome, nice music. Now, how many of you think that this story is a little bit politically incorrect? Come on. Let's be honest. This story is politically incorrect. We don't like hearing these kind of stories. Why? Because we grew up in society that says that promotes the grasshopper and not the ant. Right? Let me tell you, a person goes to school and they work hard on their grades. Right? Then they go to college and they work hard and to get a degree. And we're like, oh yeah, get a great education. But as soon as they get great education and get a good job, what happens? They start making money. And then we vilify them. We call them the rich, greedy, ant. Correct? That's what we do. That's why you don't hear this story. It's popular all over the world, but you don't hear it said or taught in school today. Amen. Because we would say this, the poor grasshopper had a bad upbringing. His mama didn't teach him how to work hard. And so we come up with all kinds of excuses for the grasshopper, and somehow the ant, the hardworking ant, gets kind of a bad rap, you know. You're greedy because you wouldn't let me in. Amen? Well, story, the laws of harvest are different than our culture today. Laws of harvest are this. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you work hard, God says, and now we're not talking exceptions. Can we get this out of the way? Because somebody is hearing this and right away the exception comes to their mind and they say, what about a person who can't work? That's an exception. Don't make it a generality. The reason people will throw exceptions to you is to create smoke. Because they don't want to deal with issues. But life is not about exceptions. It's about generalities. For most people, red light is a stop. That's generality. That's right. Now you can say, but I know a pregnant lady who was driving and she couldn't make it. I know a person who needed to pee and he had to go through the red light. Or I know a person that went through the red light and then where he was standing, where he was supposed to stand, a car hit and he would have died. That's all good stories, but that's an exception. A world is not run. The laws are not run by exceptions. When you see the red light, you must stop at the red light. I know you all can come up with 100 exceptions, but we're not dealing with exceptions. We're dealing with the Bible, and Bible speaks to all, right? And it wants all to prosper. Now, God wants you to live a life that produces harvest. Do you know that? God says, be fruitful and multiply. God wants your life to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, I'm not saying that God wants everybody to be rich. No. But God says, I will make you comfortable, not poor and not rich. David actually prayed this, I believe. He said, Lord, don't make me too rich so I would forget you. Because money makes us forget God. Because money becomes our God and starts paying for our problems. But then he says, Lord, don't make me poor so I don't steal. A lot of theft happens when you're poor. Because you kind of come up with excuse. Well, I have to eat, right? My family has to eat, so it's okay for me to steal. Okay? And so, God wants you to be fruitful. But in order for you to reap a good harvest, you have to sow something that's good. Amen? Now, life without harvest. Have you ever imagined life without harvest? Life without harvest would be a joyless, miserable, gloomy, and depressing life. Now, let me explain to you. Imagine working hard at your job, but never getting a raise or a promotion. That's kind of a life without harvest. Imagine, guys, how many of you love fishing? All right, fishing. Imagine going fishing every day for a year and not catching anything. You would break. That wouldn't happen, he said. That's good. I'm looking for that answer. Thank you for that. If you were, and I'll show you why in a second. I'll show you why in a second. Thank you. So imagine going hunting and never hitting anything. Imagine a farmer planting a seed and not harvesting anything. That wouldn't happen. Thank you. Thank you. You can all say that. That wouldn't happen. Now, it could happen if hail, you know, comes one year and destroys the field, but it wouldn't happen consistent every year. Amen? So, okay, we're going somewhere. Imagine working hard for college diploma and then never being able to get a job ever for what you worked for. Imagine trying to pray for a person to receive Jesus, but they never received. Imagine evangelizing, but nobody ever, no soul ever gives their life to Jesus. That couldn't happen, right? Imagine loving somebody, loving people, and they are not loving you back. That couldn't happen, okay. But if it did, it would be very sad, gloomy, depressing, miserable, joyless life. Imagine sowing and not reaping. That wouldn't happen. But if it did, be miserable, gloomy, depressing, and joyless life. Now, the interesting thing about this is that when we look at the laws of nature, we understand that when you sow, when you work hard, you will reap the results. Now, however, when we look at the spiritual life, a lot of Christians here get confused. They think that if I sow something Monday through Saturday, I will not reap it, because on Sunday I'll come and say 5 Hail Marys and everything will be done. I'll come to God, I'll take a garbage can of my doings, and then I'll just dump it into God's, you know, on Sunday, spiritual bucket or whatever, and that's it. I will never reap what I sow. That is not true. The number one law of harvest is whatever you sow, you shall reap. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. For he who sows into his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows into the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So the point of this is simple. If you want to reap good things in your life, and God wants you to reap good things in your life, then God wants you to sow into the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to sow into the Spirit? Any volunteers? Fruits of the Spirit, that's practicing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. That's sowing in the Spirit. What else is sowing in the Spirit? Taking God's Word, every day reading it and sowing it into your heart. That's sowing into the Spirit. What else is sowing into the Spirit? When you give to the poor, you're sowing into the Spirit, right? What else is sowing into the Spirit? When you're ministering or when you're doing good, that's sowing to the Spirit. When you're serving, when somebody over there today not listening to my amazing message and caring for our kids, that's sowing into the Spirit. That's the people who go and feed the poor. That's sowing into the Spirit. Amen. That's when you go and tell somebody about Jesus. That's sowing into the Spirit. Our vision at New Life Church is bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus a little bit, but many people are far from Him. And we want to bring Him closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Amen. Are you doing it? If you're doing it, you're sowing into the Spirit. And God says if you sow into the Spirit, you will reap. Let me see here. Everlasting life. Now, if you sow into the Spirit, Some of you are like, well, that's far away. That's when I die. Do you know when you die in heaven, your harvest will never stop? But Jesus didn't just thought that you will receive something in heaven, which is guaranteed. For eternity, whatever you've done on earth, your works will follow you for eternity. They will echo for eternity. That's what Romans says. Everything you do in this world for Jesus will echo for eternity. And everything you do not for Jesus will echo somewhere else. Your works just keeps following you. It's like right now our brain is limited. Our short-term memory or long-term memory is all messed up. But imagine if your memory, long-term and short-term, was working perfectly. You couldn't forget something. That's what's going to happen in eternity. For both, heaven or hell, you cannot forget. Except those who've been washed by the blood of Jesus, they will not remember the negative, the evil things they have done. The good works that they've done will echo for eternity. Those who are not washed by Jesus will remember everything that they have done. It will echo for eternity. Imagine somebody who committed rape and they've never received forgiveness. And that thought keeps playing and torments them. Echoes for eternity. So whoever sows into their flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit will reap eternity. But Jesus didn't only say you will reap in eternity. He said you'll reap it here. 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the kingdom of God, people. That's the kingdom of God. The cool thing about the sowing and reaping, though, because some of you are like, well, I haven't sown anything good in my life. And or somebody's here sitting happy. I've sown so much. The good thing about sowing and reaping is that there are seasons of sowing and reaping. And every year, just like in a farm, God gives a farmer another opportunity to sow. So let's say you didn't sow something good last year. Stop focusing on the last year's harvest. You can start a new harvest by sowing today into your future. Just remember, when you sow, there's time between sowing and reaping. Let me continue to read. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So God says, if you continue to sow, you will reap if you do not lose heart. Listen, harvest is inevitable. Don't be deceived, Bible says. Your harvest is inevitable. Some of you are like, yes, because you sown good. Some of you have not been sown very good. So you're like, don't tell me about this. I don't want to know this. You know how you can test yourself if your harvest is good, if you sown good? Look to the future. If you haven't sown anything good, you won't like to think about future. You'll be like, just dance, everything is going to be okay. That's your motto. If you have not been planting good seeds into the future, in your life, your motto is just dance, it's going to be okay. Now, if you have been sowing good seeds, if you have been sacrificing, if you have been disciplining yourself, you are looking forward of what those seeds will produce. But just let me tell you this. Every day of your life, you're sowing something. And every day of your life, you're reaping something. It's just reaping comes a season away from sowing. At least a season has to pass away before you reap. Amen? Now, next week, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. What you will experience... Two types of harvests. First, harvest that you sowed and harvest you didn't sow. Good and bad. That's the sucky part about it. Now, we all are excited about the harvest that we did sow. I sowed financially. I disciplined my body. I love my wife and children. I spend time with my kids so I can train them to love God and things like that. I'm trying to be kind. I'm planting the word of God into myself. I'm sowing into the Spirit. I'm doing good things. You know, all of us, you know, are excited about that. But there is also seeds that we didn't sow that will come up in our life. And you have to listen to this very carefully because this confuses Christians. But how many of you know that we harvest or we reap the seeds that our parents sowed? If your dad was alcoholic and he sowed some seeds into you, sometimes you can end up being alcoholic too. If your family loved greasy food, like my family, you end up eating greasy food. If your parents sowed suspicion into you, they were suspicious of everybody. Guess what? You end up being suspicious. If your parents didn't love people, always quietly talk, smile, but quietly talk bad about them. If your mom was a gossip, guess what? You can't help it, but you're like, where is this coming from? If your dad was angry, and then later you get married and you start being angry, and you're like, I'm acting just like my dad. What happened here? See, we are sowing something, we're reaping something we didn't sow ourselves. It could be good or bad. Let's say your mom was very loving. And today you have that loving personality. Why? Because you're sowing what you're reaping what your parents, you know, today in America, we are reaping because of what our forefathers are sowing. Amen? I mean, we're reaping freedom because of the soldiers that gave their blood, that gave their life for this nation. We didn't do anything, but we are reaping. See, we don't just have a responsibility of sowing for ourselves. We're responsible for the next generation. Our kids will struggle with things because we've never defeated it in our own life. Sometimes I get angry and I just see my dad in the mirror. I just look. Well, there was one time I got angry and yelled at my wife. You don't yell at your wives, I know. But and then I went to the mirror and I looked and I saw my dad there. And I hated when my dad was like that. We have a great responsibility. A person who says, just dance, everything is going to be okay, is like the grasshopper who's dancing, but the winter will come. What are you going to do then? Then you're going to blame the rich people, the government, everybody else. But remember, when you were in high school, you were smoking a little bit of weed. You were messing around. You were rubbing to things. Yeah, I'm serious. And then everybody else is, it's everybody else's fault. God says, no, no, no. Do not be deceived. I know the politician will say, it's not your fault, you poor thing. Vote for me. I'll help you. Vote for me. I'll give you new hope. What hope? God gives hope. Bible says, cursed is he who trusts in a man. You can't trust in a politician giving you hope. You can't trust in a man. It's God and his word can give you great hope. His commandments are not here to make you fruitless. His commandments so you can live a fruitful life. And Bible says, so your end will be better than your beginning. Devil says, I'll give you a good beginning, but you'll be paying it for the rest of your life. That's what the devil says. God says, no, no, no. Your end is going to be better than your beginning. So yeah, you might start slow, but then you'll pass those who start without God. You see what I mean? We have a great responsibility because whatever we sow, we reap. Now, whatever we sow, we reap according to... You remember the story of David. David was a man after God's own heart. And I might not finish this. And you're going to like this story.
especially all the young people will love this story. And I'm going to try to keep it in PG-13.
David became king and he became successful. God loves him. He's a writer. He writes poems. He writes psalms. He's a singer. He's a very talented musician. And here, one year when he was established as a king, he got rich. His army was sent off to war. And usually kings are supposed to go with the army. That's the job of the king, is to be the commander-in-chief. And David says, "Ah, no, I'm not going to go. Because one of the previous nights, he was walking on the roof of his palace. And he looked down, and there's this woman always bathing about the same time. Down below in her courtyard, always naked bathing over there. And he's like, I can't go to war now. See, he was sowing something. He wasn't reaping yet. He wasn't doing anything yet, but he was sowing. He knew, he found out that that was somebody's wife. Actually, it was the wife of one of his generals. So he's like, I gotta send him off to war. And first, David, if you came to David and said, David, you're gonna commit murder, adultery, you're gonna covet somebody else's wife, he would say, you're crazy, I love God. But notice, it starts with sowing thoughts. And every night, he would come out, and every night, for some reason, she had to take a bath over there. I mean, really, lady? Didn't you feel somebody's watching you? Right in front of the palace, there could be people there looking through the windows. Come on. Her name was Bathsheba. And David never thought that he would do that. But he continued to sow seeds. He continued to plant them. And he continued to think about it. What do you think about? That seeds being sown. He continued to think about it. And before you know it, he goes and calls her in and sleeps with her. Probably not once. Commits adultery with her. And there'd be one thing if David stopped there. Committed adultery, came clean and said, hey, Uriah, in those days, I mean, I don't know what would happen, but then he finds out that she's pregnant. Even worse. See, he's sowing. That's where I want to scare you. So you wouldn't think I can sow whatever I want, but I'll reap. Yeah, you'll reap herpes. That's what you're going to reap. You sow the wild oats and you'll get. And yes, you'll be praying for healing. And yes, we'll pray for you. But hey. You know I'm telling the truth. You know how many people now have herpes? The numbers are crazy. Pretty soon we'll have a line in church for sexual disease healing, which is okay, but please don't let it be you. And so David says, I gotta do something. I gotta fix this problem. And instead of repenting, he goes and he gets the general, her husband, and kills him. Commits murder. Yeah. He didn't kill him, but he put him in a front lines where he said, make sure that he gets killed. That's as ordering assassination. That's assassinating somebody. And so David thought he got away with it. You know what? You're going to have to come because my time is up. He's showing me 5 minutes left. You're going to come back for next week to finish this story. Because I'm going to show you how what he sowed, he didn't reap just by himself. His family. And I'll show you detailly how his family reaped for generations to come of what he has done.